We're holding on Kufnun Bays. I'm at Aleph at the top. Still talking about Matnas Shchiv Merah as we've been doing the last couple of days. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Matnas Shchiv Merah Shekosav Bakinyan. When you have a Matana that was a Shchiv Merah, where it also says in it that there was a Kinyan. Now, what exactly is the scenario over here? The Rashbam explains in some detail and brings from Rabbeinu Hananel that what we're talking about is that it's a matana bekuloi. He's giving away all of his nechosim, and we're talking about so because we just for one thing for a couple of reasons for one thing we just learned in the Gemara at the bottom of the previous Amud that when it's a matnas shchiv merah b'miktzas, we said in the end you need a kinyan. So over here we have to be talking about here where we're saying that when there's a kinyan in it, what happens with it? And the Gemara is going to say that it may not be valid. So it must be we're talking about a matnas. It must be that we're talking about a matana bekulay. That's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos discusses that at some length and has a bunch of questions on the Rashbam and ends up bringing and Tosfos brings from the Rivam. We have throughout this Masechta, a lot of times we have the two of the three or the three brothers. We have the Rashbam, the Rivam, and Rabbeinu Tam with three brothers. And we find many times where they're arguing on details in our Masechta. So he was one of them where you have the Rashbam against his brother, the Rivam. So the Rashbam says that and brings from Rabbeinu Hananel, we're talking about it's matana b'kuloi, and we're talking about also now he also says that it really doesn't, even though the Gemara says shekosuv b'kinyan, that a kinyan is written in it, they would learn that it means even when there's no actual shtar, we just mean that he is doing verbally a matnas shchiv merah and then does a kinyan on it. So the Rashbam brings various proofs. Again, one of them being the previous Gemara, where we said that if it's b'miktzas, then it does require a kinyan anyway. And another thing that Rashbam points out is that the Gemara is going to contrast it further down on the Amud with another din of Shmuel's, where that one is talking about where the shtar was written without a kinyan, and then later on a kinyan was made. So that would show that here the kinyan doesn't need to be made. Then again Tosfos discusses it and brings from the Rivam and brings from the Ri who discussed this in some detail, and they have a bunch of questions on the Rashbam, and they end up saying that no, they end up saying that no, the question is specifically where there is a shtar and the kinyan is actually written in the shtar. So according to the Rashbam, in short, we're talking about where it doesn't matter whether there's a shtar or not. The point is there was a matnas shchiv merah and a kinyan, whereas Tosfos points out that it's talking about davka, where there was a shtar and there was a kinyan in it. So we have to talk about then what does that accomplish?
So
and
basically,
then
they disagree on the facts. Not even
So
forget
before
about the
we even
law.
get to what the Gemara is going to say on it, right? They're arguing. What is the case? What is the scenario that the Gemara is going to deal with over here,
Yeah.
where Rav and Shmuel are going to argue? Exactly. As a matter of fact, actually, Tosfos ends up saying at the end, the Tosfos extends on to Omid Beis, and they said that actually it actually could conceivably refer to a matnas shchiv merah b'miktzas as well, unlike the Rashbam had started by saying that it has to be a matana b'kula, because otherwise, if it's b'miktzas, then as we learned yesterday, it needs a kinyan anyhow, and then Tosfos anyway goes on to and then Tosfos goes on to say that maybe in fact we are talking about over here b'miktzas, because here we're talking about where there's a here there's a shtar and there's a kinyan, and therefore that would be different than what we talked about yesterday, that a matana b'miktzas does need a kinyan, because here in addition you have the additional factor of a shtar, and the question is whether that makes a difference. Anyway, so bei rab mishmei de
So
rab am.
we're not. Yesterday we were talking with two Adim and a Kenyan. Now we're
Whenever we talk
talking
about a
about
matnas shchiv, whenever we talk about a matnas shchiv merah, we are talking about Edim, because there have to be Edim to say that he actually said this, and to say that he is in fact shchiv merah. But here before we were to so according to Tosfos at the end, before we were talking about where there's a kinyan only, and here we're talking about where there's a shtar and a kinyan. or then with a shtar that has the Kinyan written into it.
So Edim, shtar, and Kinyan, this is our discussion now.
Right. But again, according to the Rashbam, mm-hmm. we're talking about it doesn't matter shtar or not. The point is that it's Bekulay and there was a Kinyan. Yeah. So,
They disagree on the facts.
But that's going to affect the understanding of the Gemara. We're going to have Rav and Shmuel arguing on what the din is and what the rationale behind it is. And so if they have a disagreement, what's the facts? What is the scenario that the Gemara is giving? Then yeah, of course that's going to affect the understanding of why Rav would say what he does and why Shmuel says what he does. Yeah. So technically, we need.
There are how many sets of facts that are presented here? One, two, or three? I mean, two at least?
Okay, so according to the Rashbam, the question that we're dealing with over here, which Rav and Shmuel are going to be arguing about, is we have a matnas shechiv merah, it's bekuloi, it affects all of his nechasim, and there's a kinyan, whether there's a shtar or not. According to Tosfos, we're talking about where specifically there is a shtar, and the shtar actually has a kinyan written in it. And at the end, Tosfos says it's possible that actually we could say that it applies even b'miktsas.
So there are
two different sets of facts, right? Okay, let's go on with the Gemara, and then maybe it'll become more clear. So the Gemara says, "Bei Rav Mishmei de Rav Amri." In the yeshiva of Rav, they said in the name of Rav that in that case, Arkavei Atrei Rishi. It's like he made him ride on two fast horses. In other words, what it is he improved things for him. So the word rikshi is like you have in Megillas Esther, roichve horechesh, which means fast animals. So in other words, it means that he gave him a double koyach, that it has the koyach, it has the power of a matnas shechiv merah, meaning that Rashbam says, again, primarily we are talking about that there's a shtar. Again, the Rashbam had said it doesn't necessarily mean that the kinyan is written in the shtar, but there is a shtar, and it says in it that he was a shechiv merah, as you have the nusach that the Rashbam had quoted earlier on the Mishnah, and which the Gemara is going to quote on the next daf. So we have that lashon, and that gives it the power of a matnas shechiv merah. And also because he has a kinyan in there, which is unnecessary, which otherwise would have been unnecessary, then that also gives it the power of a matnas bari, that im omad eini choza, that even if the shechiv merah recovers, he doesn't revoke the gift. So Rav says, since you didn't need a kinyan, then therefore Rav is saying that it's giving him a double strength. It means that it has the strength of a matnas shechiv merah, as the Gemara is going to explain in a few lines what the koyach of that is that's relevant for our purpose, and it also has the koyach of a matnas bari. So Rav uses the expression arkevei atrei rikshi. He made him ride on two fast horses. In other words, the same way as one fast horse will get you to your destination quickly, and two, so to speak, will get you there even faster. So the same way over here. That kind of very picturesque expression, by the way, eventually became used often. You often find it in later literature, especially among the Achronim, like to use it a lot of times when you have two different reasons that are given for a halacha or something. Sometimes actually they use it in a bit of a different sense than the Gemara is using it over here. Here Rav is using it in the sense that it means his power is all the stronger. Sometimes they use it to say, like when you use a certain turn of phrase, it sounds like you're sort of contradicting yourself. You're trying to say that the reason behind this halacha is X, but you're also trying to say that the reason behind it is Y, and which one is it? It's sometimes you have like that, these one-time expressions of the very picturesque expressions that the Gemara uses later on, later Tamina Chachamim use them, not always in the same sense that the Gemara does. Anyway, the point is that Rav is saying that therefore it means that this bequest, this gift, has a very strong power. Ushmuel Omar, whereas Shmuel says on the contrary, Loya Dynamai Odun Ba. I don't know how I should decide this, what we should say in this case, because the Gemara is going to point out soon what Shmuel's suffix is. So first, let's understand Rav's opinion. Why is Rav saying that it gives him the powers of both a matnas body and the best of both, the best of a matnas shchivra and of a matnas body? So he says that's what it means. Harei kamatnas body, vaharei kamatnas shchivra. What it means is harei kamatnas body, shim omad einechoizer. It has the power of a matnas body, that even if the giver recovers, he's not going to revoke the gift and get it back, as with usual with a matnas body, because there was a kinyan over here. So the kinyan helps. So the kinyan helps for that and improves his position as far as that. And again, according to the Rashbam, we're talking about over here where it doesn't matter whether the kinyan was written in the shtar or not. The Gemara is mentioning that the kinyan was written in the shtar because typically that's what you do so people don't forget the kinyan. Tosfos again says that we're talking about specifically that it has to be the kinyan was in fact written in the shtar. So it has the power of a matnas body because of the kinyan. And Rav continues, v'harik matnas shimra. It also, on the other hand, has the power of a matnas shimra in the sense shim omer hava also l'ploini. If the Shchivra is saying, as part of this matana, I want to give Ploini this loan that somebody else is chayev to me. Now we've learned here and there in our perek, and we've learned also earlier in Shas about the concept of maimad shloshtan. Usually, if Reuven has a debt that's owed to him by Shimon, and he wants to transfer the ownership of that debt to Levi, then we need maimad shloshtan. We need Reuven, Shimon, and Levi to be standing there, and Reuven tells Shimon, rather, this money that you owe me, instead you're going to pay it to this guy Levi. And that works. But here by Shchivra, I was saying that's not necessary just by him saying that the loan should be transferred over to somebody else. Therefore, then that's good enough. You don't need Maimed Shloshtan for it. So that's what we mean in that sense. Then his gift has the power of a matnas shchivra to be able to accomplish the transfer of the ownership of that loan, even without maimed shloshtan, even without all three of them being present. So that's Rav. That's Rav's opinion that we have the best of both over here. Now, Shmuel Omar lo yadina my odunba. Now, on the other hand, when Shmuel says, "I don't know how I should decide it," because you have the problem shemalei gomel haknoise ela b'shtar, because maybe the shchivra means that maybe he doesn't want that it should take effect with only his words, because he wouldn't have needed to. There would be no need for a kinyan sudder. If we're talking about according to the Rashbam, because we're talking about bikuloi, and therefore, as we learned in the previous gemara, no kinyan is necessary. So therefore, when he's doing a kinyan sudder, on the contrary, maybe he's trying to weaken it and say doesn't have the power of a matnas shchivra, but rather it has a weaker power. It only has the power of a kinyan sudder. On the other hand, though, what is he being makna to him? By definition, a matnas shchivra takes effect only after the guy dies. And ein shtar la'achamisa. So ve'ein shtar la'achamisa. So k'shem alayim gomel haknoise el b'shtar. Maybe he wants to be makna him only using the shtar, only with the kinyan sudder that's written in the shtar. Or fine. Even if there's no shtar and even if there's no kinyan written in the shtar, still the point is that still the fact that he's making a kinyan over here may mean that he wants it to take effect only after he dies. The ein shtar la'achamisa, and the shtar or a kinyan that's written in the shtar is not going to be able to take effect after he dies, because the moment he dies, his yorshim get the property, and then the matana will never be able to take effect. So that's why Shmuel is saying we can't really be sure what we do over here. Do we consider that he wanted to be makna to him while he was alive, and in that case then fine, or do we say that he wants to be makna to him through that the kinyan should take effect only after he dies, because the shtar in particular takes effect only after he dies, and it doesn't work because the shtar can't take effect la'achamisa after his yoshim have already gone.
They're changing the case. They're changing the facts. Shmuel is changing the facts.
No. The kinyan happened according to the
because the kinyan happened because the kinyan happened while he was alive, not
that's
when he was
true.
Dead.
Nonetheless, though, the
so
fact
that's
is
the
that,
main thing.
No. Listen. The point is the very fact that matnas shchivra b'kuloi does not require a kinyan, and here. It would have been just enough for him to say that it goes to Pliny. And instead, he's making a Kinyan over here. So therefore, so it could be that he wants to take away the power of a Matnas Shemira. He doesn't want it to just go with his words. He wants it to be, go only with a Kinyan Sudr. However, what he's being makna to him is a Matnas Shemira with a Kinyan Sudr. And the problem with that is that it can't, that the Kinyan cannot take effect unless the Kinyan cannot take effect after he died.
One second. You're saying two different things here. You're saying, number one, that we don't need a Kinyan. And number two, you're saying the Kinyan takes effect after death. You can't have both ways.
You don't need a Kinyan in the first place. And therefore, when there's a Kinyan, maybe he wanted that Kinyan to take effect only after he dies. And
That's irrelevant.
That is very relevant.
If you don't need a Kinyan. If you don't need a Kinyan, you don't need a Kinyan, period.
No, but that's
whether
not
it's
reason.
Before or after death, okay. Doesn't matter.
But the point is that if it was just that you didn't need a Kinyan, Shmuel wouldn't have a suffix. Okay, you didn't need a Kinyan, you did one anyway. What's the problem? The problem is that now the fact that you made a Kinyan means that maybe you're saying a Kinyan on something which by definition a Matnas Shemira can take effect only after he dies, and a Kinyan after he dies will not be effective anymore. So that's the problem.
That's what I was saying yesterday, but you said you said differently yesterday. Okay. So I said we don't need a Kinyan, number one. If there is a Kinyan, that may affect the outcome.
Okay. So yesterday we were talking about b'miktsas. Now we're talking about b'kula, according to the Rashban. So there's a difference. When it comes to miktsas, you do need a Kinyan, we said, because otherwise, without him saying that he's going to die, which is mitzava machmas misa, or without a Kinyan, then we don't have a matona over here. Here we're talking about bekuloi. Here we're talking about it's a matona of everything, and it would have been enough for him to just say verbally, and no Kinyan is needed. Now, when he's making a Kinyan, the problem is that he seems to be saying that he wants the matnas shrivna to depend on the Kinyan. And therefore, it can't, because the Kinyan can't take effect la'achamisa, which is when the Matnas Chimera should take effect, because the Yoshim have already gotten it.
So we're saying the opposite of what you were saying yesterday.
Not the opposite of yesterday. Yesterday we were talking about b'miktsas, and here we're talking about b'kulei. Different cases. Again, according to Tosfos.
On the miktsas, we're all agreed here.
According to the Rashbam, we're talking about b'kulei. According to Tosfos. The difference between this and the earlier case, it could in fact, at the end, Tosfos says, it may even be talking about b'miktsas, but the key point over here is that we have a shtar, again, according to Tosfos, they insist and they prove throughout the length of the Tosfos that we are talking about b'shtar, that we're talking about specifically where there was a shtar, unlike the Rashbam, who says not necessarily are we even talking about that a shtar was written, just that there was a Kinyan. But let's, in order to keep things simple, let's stick with the Rashbam for the moment. The difference is that before we were talking about a matana b'miktsas, and that requires a Kinyan for it to be effective. Now we're talking about a matana b'kuloi, which does not require a Kinyan, and therefore Shmuel is saying that adding the Kinyan may make things worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go on. So Shmuel is saying that's the problem, that he may have only been meant for it to depend on the Kinyan, and the Kinyan can't take effect after he dies. A further twist in all of that, by the way, is you also have something else, which we're going to mention on Omid Bey, is called the Diatiki. You can have where he's saying in a Loshon of Matona that I want to give a gift to Pliny or to Pliny, and then we have that's the din of Matnas Shemira. Versus you have the whole concept of Diatiki, which means a written will, where he's saying, he's writing out over there that he's writing out over there because I'm soon going to die, then therefore I'm giving out the disposition of my Nechosim. And the Shtar, that's different. That doesn't necessarily require a Kinyan or anything there. We just have to have the Shtar. The shtar has to be given, because otherwise he may change his mind and decide not to. We had a din about that in the previous perek, for example, that you find the diatiki tied to his leg, then you can't do anything with it because he didn't give it before he died. But once he did, then a diatiki is valid without a kinyan or anything. But the difference is, again, there it's machmas misa. It says there that he's doing it because I'm going to die soon, and this is what I want to happen. All this time, when we're talking about over here, about requiring a Kenyan, or that a Kenyan makes things worse, or whatever. We're talking about where he's giving gifts and not actually saying that it's because I'm going to die soon. Anyway, so we have the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, but the Gemara points out, "V'romi de Rav ad Rav u de Shmuel ad Shmuel." We seem to have a contradiction between Rav's opinion, within Rav's opinions and within Shmuel's opinions, because we have another din, the Shalach Rovin Meshmei de Rav Abahu. Rovin sent a message from Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rav Abahu. He says, "Hevu Yadi, you Chachamim and Bavel should know." Sheshomach Rabbi Lozer leGoyla, that Rabbi Lozer had previously sent the following message to the Goyla, which also means Bavel. Elsewhere, the Gemara says that Goyla particularly means the city of Pumpedissa. So maybe previously Rabbi Lozer had sent this message to Pumpedissa, and now Rovin wants to send. Now Rovin is sending a message to other places in Bavel. Be aware of this as well. Mishum Rabbeinu, that Rabbi Lozer had sent this for the following message in the name of Rabbeinu, and Rabbeinu means Rav. So he said, if a Shchivmera says, write out a document and give a mona to Pliny, ummes, and then the Shchivmera died, we cannot write that shtar and give it after he died, because the same logic that we just quoted in the name of Shmuel, that maybe he wanted to be makna only with a shtar, the ein shtar la'achamisa, and the shtar can't take effect la'achamisa. Now here we're talking about a mona, so you have two problems with it. First of all, it seems to be only mitzas, and second of all it's metaltalin. You can't be koinim metaltalin with a shtar anyhow. So the Rashba explains that for we're talking about is that karka that's worth a mona. And apparently we are talking about the Ritva ads. Obviously we have to be talking about it is kol nechosav. Actually if it's kol nechosav, then it doesn't have to be karka, because as we've learned before, when he's giving kol nechosav, then you don't need a kinyan, then you don't need a shtar or a kinyan anyway. In any case, the point is that Rav had said that this logic of ein shtar la'achamisa. So Rav seems to be contradicting himself. In that case that Rabbi Lozer had sent and that Rovin is confirming, Rav is saying ein shtar la'achamisa, and therefore you're saying that when he says kisvu tnu mona l'ploini, then we're saying that it doesn't work. Whereas here in the first case that we discussed, where you have a matnas chivra, where there's a kinyan, then Rav is saying adadaba, that makes things better. Then the Gemara continues, V'omer Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Meanwhile, we also have a din that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Hilchsa Koisvin Menosnin, that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that no, not like Rav, the halacha is you could write the shtar and you could give it even after the guy dies, because we can say that he's saying to write it in order to improve the guy's koyach, that the guy has more of a proof now that he's entitled to it. So now, kasha de Rav ad Rav, kasha de Shmuel ad Shmuel. So now you have a contradiction between Rav's opinions and between Shmuel's opinions. Here, Rav was saying before that when you have the matnas shchivmera with a kinyan, then it makes things better for him. Making him ride on two fast horses, meaning him giving him the best of both, the best of the powers of a matnas shchivmera and of a matnas body. And he was saying the opposite, and Shmuel said ein shtar la'achamisa, and here Shmuel was saying you could execute the shtar la'achamisa. So the Gemara answers, derava derav loikasha, within Rav's opinion there's no contradiction, because Rav's case of arkevei atrei rikshi, that was saying that the best of both, is where there was a kinyan. So why would he make a kinyan? Mepashtus, because he wants to. We have an umdona. We have we talked about the concept of umdona a few blot ago. We have a strong, reasonable supposition that he's doing it in order to improve the koyach of the makabel. Why would he make a kinyan? Must be because he wants to make things better for the makabel. So therefore, Rav is saying that in fact works, and now the makabel has the greater powers of both the matnas body and matnas chimera. Whereas the din that Rabbi Lozer and Rovin are saying about kisvu utnu, there was no kinyan. He just said kisvu utnu, so therefore maybe he means for the kinyan to be effective only after he dies, and that's not going to work because ain't kinyan la'achamisa. The Rashba actually brings up the point that's a very obvious answer. So why did the Gemara even bring up the question in the first place? So he says that, first of all, it's true, mainly the Gemara is not focusing on the Stira within Rav's opinion. He mainly wants to focus on the opinion within on the Stira within Shmuel's opinion, where Shmuel clearly said in the first case that you have the problem that maybe ain shtar l'achamisa. And in the second one, he's saying that there's no problem. The shtar could be l'achamisa. So it's true. Maybe one possibility is the Gemara is not really so, the Makshin is not so bothered by the contradiction within Rav, because it's fairly obvious. But nevertheless, once we're bringing it, then we're bringing both. But then the Rashba goes on to say that no, actually, because when it comes to Kisvu Utnu, Rav is saying that, why are you saying he's not Kona at all? Why don't we say that at least Rav had said before, Arkavei Atrei Rishi, that you give him the powers of both, at least you should say that, so why don't you? You could say, if it has the power of Matnas Bodhi, and had the Shtar been given while he was alive, then he wouldn't get it back. It should be at least like a Matnas Shchivmera, that he should be Kona, at least on the grounds, a Matnas Shchivmera. In other words, here, in the earlier case, Rav would say, the Rashba's second explanation then is, that in the earlier case, Rav is saying you give him the best of both. Here, you seem to be giving him the worst of both. You seem to be saying that because the shtar was la'achamisa, therefore he can't be koneh. But if it was a matnas chivmera, why would that matter? A matnas chivmera takes effect when the guy dies. And on the other hand, you're saying that that it wasn't given while he was alive, and therefore that's a problem, implying that if it had been given while he was alive, it would be So the point is, there is kind of a contradiction then in Rav. It's true, you could answer, it would be a very obvious answer whether there was a kinyan or not, but the Gemara was bothered by, even without a kinyan, why is Rav considering it that now he kind of has the worst of both and he can't be koina la'achamisa. So then, according to that, the answer is that it's one thing when he has a kinyan, it shows he wants to give him ba'ayin yofa. He wants to give it to him in a way where it's going to work whether he dies or whether he recovers. So therefore, he's putting him on two fast horses and saying, with this kinyan, I'm making it that your ownership of this is going to be confirmed no matter what. If I die, you're going to get it on the grounds of the matnas chivmera, and if I recover, you're going to get it on the grounds of matnas bari. But when there's no kinyan, then you don't show. We don't know that he wanted to do that to improve his position. Maybe he only wanted to do it as a matnas bari, and therefore, since it wasn't written while he was alive, then it doesn't work as a matnas bari anymore. So that would be the Gemara's answer then for Rav. De Shmuel, like Kasha. Now, as far as Shmuel's opinions, there's also no contradiction because when you talk about the Kisvu Utnu, b'miyapes koichon, you can talk about where there's a kinyan that's written in a way that's made it clear in a way that it's to improve his koyach. That he actually writes in the shtar that he says that as the Gemara is going to bring further on, that he writes in there, we're making a kinyan in addition to this matana. In other words, we're giving him this matana, and in addition, we're making a kinyan on it. So that shows that he does basically want to be maknet using matnas shchivmera, and he's making the kinyan only in order to show that he's doing it. That he's only liyapas as koichai, only to make his power stronger. So now when he says kisvu utnu means doesn't just mean write that I'm going to give him a mana. It means Right in the shtar that I'm going to give him a mana, and that we made a kinyan liyapas as koichai for the purpose of improving his power. Not just that we're saying, in other words, if we had just said give him a mana and we made a kinyan on it, you could ask, does that kinyan mean that he wants it to take effect only after he dies and it doesn't work, or does it mean that he wanted to strengthen him? Now, when he explicitly says in there, we're giving this kinyan moisif amat nasada in addition to this matana, that shows that he wants to strengthen it. So then in that case, Shmuel will say that it will take effect. So therefore, Shmuel's not contradicting himself, because before we're talking about where we didn't have that lashon, and now we're talking about where we do. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Yosef Rab Nachman by Yitzchak Achore de Rava. Rab Nachman Yitzchak was sitting as a Talmud behind Rava. We often find in Shas, the Seder was that you had the Rosh Hashiva would sit in front, of course. The senior, the more accomplished Talmidim would sit in the front, and then the junior Talmidim would sit further and further back. The basic idea was they would actually have the seating would be determined by your capabilities and your caliber and whatever. There's an interesting description from the time of the Goinim that that describes the Seder over there, where they had where they would actually have a couple of times a year they would test the younger light in the yeshiva, and if a person didn't pass the test, then they might demote him in his position. And if not, then over time he would eventually move up in the ranks, and eventually, of course, he himself might become the Rosh Yeshiva. So whenever we say in the Gemara that Reb Pliny was sitting behind Reb Pliny, means he was a junior Talmud. In this case, Reb Nachman Reitzchak himself later on became a Talmud of Rava. So therefore, now at this point, he's attending the shiurim of the senior Rosh Yeshiva of the time, Reb Nachman, but he's sitting further back because Rava is one of the older Talmudim, and Reb Nachman Reitzchak, who himself later became a Talmud of Rava, or maybe even at the time already as a Talmud of Rava, is sitting further back. So for Yosef Rava Kameder Reb Nachman, Rava was sitting directly in front of Reb Nachman in one of the front rows. Kaboy Mine. And Rava asked Reb Nachman the following question. So here we just said that there can be, here we just said that that Shmuel is saying, so basically he's going to ask him the same contradiction that the Gemara has just brought up, and Reb Nachman is going to clarify the answer that we just gave. Did Shmuel really say that when there's a matnas chimera that also includes a kinyan, that he may have meant to be matna him only with the shtar, and the shtar can't take effect la'achamisa? Where again, according to the Rashbam, we're not necessarily talking about specifically that a shtar was written, but the point is that there was a kinyan involved. And according to Tosfos, we're talking about specifically there is a shtar and there is a kinyan written into the shtar. But didn't Rabbi Yehuda also tell us in the name of Shmuel, Shchimra, Shekosav, Kol Nechosav La'achirim, that if a Shchimra writes out all his Nechosim to others, Afa Pishakonu Miyadoi, even if they made a Kinyan, Omad, if he recovers Choser, that he can retract it, be a Dua, Shaloi Hayakinin, Elamach Masamisa, because we know that the Kinyan was only because he was going to die, even though he didn't say so. So even though there was a Kinyan, then therefore he's still able to take it back. So why is Shmuel saying lawyer dynamai edunba? I don't know how to judge the earlier case of matnas chibra that has a kinyan, because here we have a matnas chibra that has a kinyan, and Shmuel is saying that he has the ability to revoke it. So that shows that it definitely only has the power of matnas chibra. So why is Shmuel saying that it may have also had the power of matnas body? So Rav Nachman made a motion to Rava. He didn't answer him in so many words, but he made him a motion, which can mean that Ashbam says either a motion indicating, don't worry, I know an answer for that, or he made him a motion showing that we're talking about Yapasis Koiche, that he did the Kinyan in a way to improve his property. The Ishtik, and so Rava was quiet and didn't ask anything further, because he understood what Rav Nachman was hinting at. He come, but after Rav Nachman left, Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchok l'Rava. So now the junior Talmud, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, asks Rava, "My achvilach, what did Rav Nachman mean by making that motion to you?" And Rava explained to him that, like we said, we're talking about that the Kinyan was liyapas es koichai, and that would be when Shmuel is saying that it's clear that the Kinyan was in order to strengthen his position, and not that it means that it might be self-contradictory, and it might mean that he meant it to take effect only after he dies. So that's the answer, that in the case where it's not clear what the nature of that Kinyan was, then Shmuel is saying, I don't know what to do with such a din, with such a shtar. But when it was liyapas es koichai, then the kinyan doesn't contradict the matnas chimera. It strengthens it. By the way, in this connection, by the way, Tosfos discusses elsewhere in Shas the question: when we say Reb Nachman Plain, who is that? Now there's a Rashi in Gittin, I think, that says that Plain Reb Nachman in Shas is actually Reb Nachman by Yitzchak. But Tosfos says that no, I don't. One proof against that is over here, where we have Reb Nachman, the Rosh Yeshiva, and Reb Nachman Yitzchok, the junior Talmud. Tosfos points out that actually Reb Nachman Stam and Shas is actually named Reb Nachman by Yaakov. His father's name Yaakov is not mentioned much in Shas, but nevertheless comes up here and there. But that would be plain Reb Nachman, the Rebbe of Rava, and the Chava of Rav Huna, and so forth. is generally Reb Nachum Bar Yaakov. And when you have Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak over here, then he's given with his father's name. Anyway, so Heichi Domi Miyapes Koichai. So what is that Loshen that would be in the Shtar to show that the Kenyan is to strengthen his position? Omer of Chisa, like we said before, like Rashbam had brought before, where he writes out and says in the Shtar, we made a Kenyan in addition to this Matana, and the Rashbam brings the rest of the Loshen that we write in the Shtar. According in accordance with everything that was written and said explicitly before, that we used a keli that is suitable to make a kinyan with. The Gemara in Bava Metzia explains why we need that Loshen. It shows that we know that we chose that we made the kinyan sudder properly. We used a keli rather than food, for example, and we used a keli that belongs to the appropriate party, where you have a machlokas over there, whether it's supposed to belong to the koine or to the makna. Anyway, so we write all that loshen shor of akayim, and it's all definitive, and yeah. So you write that whole loshen. The point is, then it makes it clear that the kinyan is liyapas es koichei, aside from the matana that was given bal peh. And therefore, writing that loshen shows that you're doing it liyapas es koichei, and that you're doing it b'leiv shalom. So, in fact, actually, an interesting point, the Rambam talks about that you have various kinds of things where, in principle, you don't need a kinyan for them. For example, you're appointing a shliach, let's say, you don't need a kinyan. You're being moichel, a loan to somebody, you don't need a kinyan. Nonetheless, people have developed the minhag to make a kinyan in such cases where, in order to demonstrate that you're doing it wholeheartedly, and therefore that should really be valid. And here we have an example of that where he's doing a kinyan, even though it was unnecessary, and it demonstrates that he's doing it wholeheartedly. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, now let's start out as follows. Shita, it's obvious the following din, and then we're going to talk about in continuation, what about a related din? Kosav lozev, kosav lozev. What happens if the Shchivna wrote out a document giving all his nechosim to Reuven, and actually it doesn't really matter for this purpose whether there was a document or not, the kosav lozev, and then he wrote out and gave it to Shimon instead. So he didn't actually give the shtar. He didn't actually give the shtar to the other person. So the Rashbam explains, in other words, with the case, which again we have a machlokas, the Rashbam and Tosfos exactly about the nature of the scenario over here. So the Rashbam explains that he hadn't yet given the shtar to either one. He had written out a document saying that he's giving it to Reuven and hadn't yet given him the shtar for that. Then he wrote out another one saying that he's giving it to Shimon, and he wrote out a document and didn't give it to him. So that's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos discusses that and says it may even mean that he did give them the shtar. Anyway, so then there's no question what the din would be. Then the answer would be that what we do, then it would be like when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that exactly that, diatiki mevatelas diatiki. One will can override the previous one. In other words, that he can be chozer. We had a case like that. We had a case like that yesterday with Romi Bachoma and Rav Ukva Bachoma, where she first gave it to one of her sons and then she gave it to the other, and we said as long as he's still alive he can revoke it. So that would be the case over here, even though shtaris were written. On the other hand, Kosav Vizikalazeh, what about if he wrote out the document and he was mezaket to the one? So the Rashbam explains that he actually gave him the shtar. So if he actually gave him the shtar of a kosav zikalozeh, and then he wrote out another document and gave the shtar to the other one as well, so that's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos explains that zika would be that he was mezakal yidei acher, that he gave it through a third party and told him you make a chazaka and acquire it and whatever, and therefore now the question would be, which one is koine? Do we still say that he has the ability to change his mind and it goes only to the second one? There we have a machlokas. Rav Amar Rishon Kono, Shmuel Amar Sheni Kono. Rav says the first one was koine because at this point he was already mezakeh to him, whether it means like the Rashbam says giving him the shtar, or whether it means like Tosfos saying sort of doing some other loshen that demonstrates that he's mezakeh to him. So then it's too late for him to give it to anybody else. In effect, the Rashbam says this actually depends on the previous machlokas as well, because in the previous case, Rav had said that when you have a matnas shchimra with a kinyan, it gives it the powers of both. The same way Rav would say over here, once he gave him the shnar, then it gives him the powers of both to the extent where he can't change his mind. Even had he recovered, he wouldn't be able to change his mind. Rav would learn. Therefore, he's also not able to change his mind and give it to the other one. Well, Shmuel Amasheni Kona, whereas Shmuel says that the second one is Kona because no kinyan was necessary. Im Omad Choser, and we said because he's able to change his mind as long as he's alive. So therefore, he's also able to transfer it to somebody else instead. Let's explain the details. Rav Amarishin Kona, because Rav holds Harei Kamatnas Bari. Rav holds, like he had said before about the case of Aukveh Tre Rikshi, that it means that he's giving him the power of a Matnas Bari, and a Matnas Bari, you can't change his mind. So you can't revoke it and give it to somebody else instead. In fact, the Ritva says we're talking about over here specifically. He actually gave him the shtar in front of Edim, and he said these zoicha and these nechotim with the shtar. It seems more likely that he wanted to be makna to him while he's still alive. If you only wanted matnas shimra, you don't need to give over the shtar dafka with Edim. He doesn't need to say zechay ben nechotim. All he would need is after the shimra dies, he would take out the shtar and show it to the yoshim and collect it. So Rav would say that by going through that whole rigmarole demonstrates that he wants to have the power of a matnas bari. Well, a matnas bari, he can't change his mind. Or Shmuel Amasheni Kona, where Shmuel says the second one would be Kona because Harei Kamatnas Shchimra, because Shmuel says that this is a regular matnas Shchimra. He would be able to change his mind had he recovered. And therefore, now he also has the ability instead to transfer it to somebody else. The Rashbam also points out this doesn't contradict what we said on Amud Aleph about Shmuel saying that on Amud Aleph what we said that Shmuel said that where there's a matana and there's a kinyan that maybe he wants it to be koina achamisa. Here there's not a kinyan gomer. There's his instructions that are written in the shtar, and he gave the shtar to the other guy, but he gave the shtar to the person he wants to get it, but there's no kinyan involved. So on Amud Aleph we were talking about there's a kinyan. Here we're talking about that there's not. So the Gemara asks, why do Rav and Shmuel need to tell us their machlokas in this case? We already have the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel about a matnas shchimra where there's a kinyan, where according to Rav it means it has the powers of both, and according to Shmuel, we're not sure. Tosfos explains that really the question is primarily on Rav, because we're saying Rav in particular is being very consistent with his opinion on Amud Aleph. Shmuel, we don't really need. According to Shmuel, it's actually two different cases. And here he says that the second one was Kona, whereas in the first case we said it's Shema. We're not sure what to do. So the question isn't so much on Shmuel, why he needs to say it in both places, because you have to make it clear that what he holds in one case versus the other, where there's a kinyan involved versus not. But the question is on Rav, once he already said, then why does he need to mention over here his opinion in this case as well? And the Gemara answers, Tzricha, we do need both of them. De'i itma baha, if we had only the first machlokas about the matnas shchimra with a kinyan, you would say, baha ka'omar Rav, you know why Rav says that it should have the power of a matnas bori and be irrevocable, mishum dekonu miyadeh, because there was a kinyan. Ava baha, but in our case over here, where he just gave him the shtar, deloy konu mineh, there was no kinyan. He just gave him over the shtar. So you would say, maybe you would agree with Shmuel that in that case it doesn't have the power of a matnas body, only a power of matnas shchimra, and in that case he could change his mind and give it to somebody else. The e itma baha. On the other hand, if we only have the second machlokas, you would say the other way around. Baha kama Shmuel. Only here does Shmuel say that it's strictly like a matna shchibmara because there was no kinyan. Aval bahach. But in the earlier case where there was a kinyan, ema modelay l'rav. Maybe he would agree with Rav that it works on the grounds of the kinyan. So therefore, sitzircha. So we need both machlokas to clarify what they hold in the respective cases. Well, the Gemara says besura masnu hachi. Thus far, what we learned, the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, is the way that they learned it in the yeshiva of Surin. B'pumpadissa masnu hachi. Meanwhile, in the other great yeshiva you always had in throughout most of the time of the Gemara, and afterwards in the times of the Gaonim, there were two major yeshivas in Surin and in Pumpadissa. And sometimes you had differences of, sometimes you had variations in how they learned a certain machlokas or various other things like that. So, but Pumbedissa masnu hachi. In Pumbedissa, they learned the machlokas, they learned rather the din as follows. They learned Amr Rabbi Yumi Rabba, Shochulei Mibei Rav L'Shmuel. In this version, there's not a machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, but rather some statements. That Shochulei Mibei Rav L'Shmuel, they sent a message from the yeshiva of Rav in Surah to Shmuel's yeshiva, which actually at the time was in Nahuda. Later on, the city of Nahuda was destroyed and the yeshiva was moved to Pumbedissa. Anyway, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, they said, Rebbe, teach us. Now, Rav passed away a few years before Shmuel. Reb Shura Gaon tells us in his Igeres that Rav passed away 7 years before Shmuel. So during the few years after that, they was, even though they already had a new Rosh Yeshiva, they were still sending their questions to Shmuel because he had been Rav's chaver. So Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe, teach us. Shchivmanah shekosav kol nechosav la'achayrim, where Shchivmanah writes out all his nechosim as a gift to others. The konu miyodei, and there was a kinyan, and there was a kinyan about it. So mahu, what would be the din? Is he able to change his mind and give it to somebody else or take it back or whatever? So Sholach Lahu, so Shmuel sent them back a message, Ein Ach Kinyan Klum. Once there was a Kinyan, then that's it. It's a done deal. You can't revoke the Kinyan. After once there was a Kinyan already, you can't revoke it anymore. So he gave him the shtar, and there was a Kinyan, then obviously it means that he meant to Liyapas as Koichai. The Rashbam actually explains. The Rashbam explains over here that the when we say over here b'sura masnu hachi b'papadisa masnu hachi, first the Rashbam says some mafoshim wanted to explain that we're going all the way back to the case that we talked about at the beginning of Amud Aleph, the case of a matnas shchivmara which includes a kinyan where Rav had said alkavei atrei rikshi, and Shmuel says I don't know what to do with that. So some want to say that we're referring all the way back to that and saying in Surah they said there's this machlokas, and in Shmuel and in Pumbedissa they said that no, and in that case then there's no contradiction within what Shmuel said that we need to resolve. However, the Rashbam says that no, that's not what the Gemara means. It means the second machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, where we talked about where he wrote a document giving it to Reuven and then wrote another document giving it to Shimon, and he gave each one their document. So now we're saying that in the first version, Rav and Shmuel argued about it, whether the first one or the second one is Koina, and now that was in the Surah version. In the Pumbedissa version, we're saying there's no machlokas. Rather, they asked Shmuel what would be the din. What would be the din in this case? And Shmuel is telling them Einacha Kinyan Klum. Once the Kinyan was done, he gave him the shtar, and he wrote the shtar and was mezaka to him, and we did a Kinyan. Then we would say that we're not going to say Shema Loi Lagomer Elak Noise El B'Shtar. We're not going to say that maybe he wanted to be makna him only with the shtar. No, in this case, he did so much that it's obviously Yapas is Koichoi, even if it doesn't say so explicitly in the shtar. And the Gemara continues, as we learned before, Sovamina, Sovamine. Now the Bnei HaYeshiva thought to say, Ani Mili La'acher, that would only apply that Shmuel is saying he can't change his mind after the first Kinyan if he wants instead to give it to somebody else. So again, he gave it to Reuven, then he gives it to Shimon, then it wouldn't work. But Avala Atzmei Loi, but for himself, to take it back for himself, maybe Shmuel wouldn't say that. But Rav Chista explained to them, no, he also Rav Huna Mikufri. When Rav Huna came from Kufri, which was the town where he lived, Pirsha, then he explained that no, Bein La'atzme, Bein La'achirim, it applies whether he's doing it for, whether he's giving it for himself or for somebody else. So either way, Rav Chista says, so again, when you have the case in the Arkevei Atrei Rikshi case, there was only a shtar and there was a kinyan, and that's not enough. And we don't know whether the kinyan is meant to take effect immediately or la'achamisa. But here where we have kosa vizika, and he gave the shtar and there was a kinyan, then it's definitely the yapasis koichai. So again, according to the version of Pumbedissa, there's no machloikas Rav and Shmuel about that. Rather, the Bnei HaYeshiva, the Talmidim of Rav, asked Shmuel, and this is what he responded to them. Tosfos also brings from Rabbeinu Tam that explains that we're talking about there's the kinyan is not written in the shtar. We're talking about when we said in the Mishnah shir karka kol shahu, that if the shtivna left himself any karka, then the gift is irrevocable. Then we would talk about that was when there was a kinyan, and then So here we had discussed in the Gemara yesterday that the Reisha and the Seifa on the face of it have to be consistent, and both of them have to be talking about with a kinyan or both without. But Tosfos brings that Rabbeinu Tam says maybe not necessarily. Actually, maybe one part of the Mishnah is talking about with a kinyan and one without. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss that and various other nuances in the Gemara over here. One part of the question is what exactly is the definition of a diatiki that we said before in the Gemara? Does it mean just a shtar, or does it actually mean a shtar tzava, where he's saying that I'm giving out my nechassim, that he says he's giving out his nechassim before he dies? So Tosfos discusses in some detail that those various opinions. At the end, by the way, Tosfos points out a detail over here, that who is the Bei Rav over here. When we say Amri Bei Rav, the Gemara elsewhere mentions that it would be Rav Huna. But over here, actually, Tosfos says it might be so. Sometimes we have it's Rav Hamnuna, but that would be Tosfos says where it's obvious that it was Rav Hamnuna, who was also a Talmud of Rav, then that's who it means. Otherwise, over here, it would mean Rav Huna, as it is over here. And here we have Rav Huna himself clarifying this din that Shmuel had sent to them. So the Gemara, in fact, brings in this connection. There was a case of a shrivna where he gave a shtar, and we wrote a shtar, gave it to the other guy, and made a kinyan. Now he recovered, so he wanted to take it back. Also, so he comes to Rav Huna to ask to get it back. Omar, and Rav Huna says, "My Eved Loch, what do you want me to do for you? You weren't makna in the way that people are usually makna, matna shrivna." Where you write the document, or you make a kinyan, you write it and you make a kinyan, but you don't give the shtar, etc. But here you did all of those, so therefore you can't revoke it. So the Rashbam goes through over here and summarizes, in other words, so you have Shmuel, a bunch of different dinim about Shmuel that has said over here. And since the halacha is like Shmuel in dinim mominus, then we have as follows. We can summarize it as follows. Where there's a matana bekula, he gave all of his nechosim and wrote a kinyan, but didn't give the shtar. So then we said that would be the case where Shmuel says, loy eda, my odun, but I don't know how to judge it, because we might say that maybe he wanted him to be kona only la'achamisa. Then you can have where he wrote in the shtar a loshen implying that he wants to improve the guy's position. He wrote that loshen that he says v'kaninu minei moisif amatnasav da, that we're making a kinyan in addition to this matana. So then it's a true matnas shchimra with all the dinim of a matnas shchimra, namely that if he dies the other guy gets it, but if he recovers then he can take it back. Then you have where he says that he's where he writes Kisvu Tnu Monolaplini, and he dies. Then you can write that shtar and give it even after he died. Again, because Miyapes Koichoi, you're talking about what he said to write the shtar in a way to improve the other guy's position. Then you have where he wrote a shtar as a raya, but he was mezakeh through another person. So then the second one. So then again, if he changes his mind and gives it to a second person, the second one would be koina. And then though, if he gave the shtar and the fourth one was if he wrote a shtar to Reuven and made a kinyan. But then afterwards he made a shtar. Then he wrote afterwards he wrote a shtar and gave it to Shimon. And the shtotus weren't given yet, then it's going to end up going to Shimon when he dies. But on the other hand, if he wrote the shtar and gave it to Reuven and made a kinyan, then Reuven is going to be koine and he doesn't have the ability to change his mind and give it to Shimon. That would be the last case that we said over here where they asked Shmuel and where Rav Chista clarified it and where Rav Huna says to the guy that you didn't make the kinyan in the normal way. You went too far over here and therefore you gave it the power of a matnas body. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with various other dinim within these things, a matnas bari and matnas chibana.